Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition. The Fry and the other beat writers were mean to me yesterday. Edition. I understand I am a helicopter parent and a helicopter beat writer, but I personally think they were lucky that nothing bad happened and no one suffered an injury practicing through a monsoon. Edition. By the way, Matt LaFleur is scheduled to speak at 9:50. I'll be here on the show, but I am sure he will be asked, what the hell was going on out there with practicing through the rain? Edition. And if it's Wednesday and Brian Bulaga normally joins us at 9:30, should we be calling another offensive lineman at 9:30? To take his place since he's taking Tausch's place? Like, I'm not going to call Chad Clifton because I know he's not going to answer. But, I don't know, TJ Lang played some tackle. Josh Sitton played some tackle. Maybe we should wake one of those knuckleheads up. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Practice number 3 of training camp will get underway at 10:30. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios in his favorite charcoal shirt. And from an undisclosed location, like Tausch was once a future farmer of America, FFA. Bulaga is now a present farmer in America, a PFA. But right now he looks like he's in like a Steinhoffel store test resting a couch. He is our cousin sub of the day, the former Packers right tackle. It is Brian Bulaga. Brian, where are you?
I'm out at the farm. I'm in a different spot because this is longer than our normal Wednesday edition hit that I do. I normally sit in a chair that there's no way I could sit in that chair for 3 hours. So I took it over to the couch, set something up here with the iPad. I got ESPN on, so I'll be able to see the late and breaking news from Stephen A. Smith. And I'm joining you today. So I'm excited. I got out here early today, took care of the rest of the yard work that didn't get done yesterday. And is it a bad thing, right? Midway through me doing the rest of the yard work, I get a text from Abby saying, you got to teach me how to use the mower out there because I need some peace and quiet from the kids. I need some time on my own from the kids. Is that showing that my soulless out here is getting ruined?
So she now, because this was the conversation we had yesterday, you talked about how and the crew at Aaron's always took good care of you and whatever else. But now you're out there and you found mowing the lawn to be an escape from all the other things going on in your life. Are you telling me that Abby is now encroaching on that and wants to use lawn mowing to give her a respite from the kids and all the madness at your house?
That's what it sounds like a little bit. And listen, I'm all for her.
She's welcome to my house. I don't need the solace. She's, she's got to bag it though. I really like it to be bagged so it looks nice.
I'm all for, letting her, teaching her how to use the John Deere and the riding tractor and all that. I'm all for it. But listen, I like my time out here mowing and doing the work and yard work out here and kind of upkeeping it. That's a little peace and quiet for me. I get it. The kids in the morning are a little high maintenance. I am well aware of that. I'm not saying that's why I left early this morning. I'm not saying that's why I did it. But I certainly I wanted to get it done today because I got some stuff I got to do after the show. So, I just wanted to get up and get this done. And midway through, she let me know that I need to teach her how to use it. So, maybe my escape away is coming to an end. We'll see. I don't know. Wow. But, hey, if she wants to do it, I'll let her do it.
I want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. So, is she looking to switch places with you and then you stay home with the kiddos and she goes and mows the lawn and gets the peace and quiet of her riding lawnmower and you're dealing with, hey, I need snacks for camp and all these other things?
It kind of sounds that way. Yeah. It sounds that way that she'd like to switch spots every so often, which maybe, when I'm with the kids and, she's either getting her nails done or, whatever she may feel like doing in a day, which
she's
I'm
gonna get
totally
after,
all for.
She's going to get after you for that line.
Well, whatever she feels like doing, this is, we're pretty good with allowing each other to do what we feel we need to do throughout a day, which, hey, that's great. I normally let the kids have too much free roam of the house. And then she gets home and sees the kids have done something. And she goes, what have you not been seeing what they've been doing? And then it's kind of like, no, I've seen what they've been doing, but I'm not going to sit here and try to micromanage and kind of, tell them this because then they're going to go do something else. So hey, if they're going to go upstairs and build a blanket fort and kind of tear up an area, Well, I'll make sure they clean it up afterwards. I know it's not the best situation, but it keeps them occupied and that's good with me. So I don't know. I have no idea, but I'll be more than happy to teach her how to learn, teach her how to use the mower and all that. I'm good with it. I'm happy to do it. It'd be great.
So I am eager to see now what you end up doing with yourself when you are not mowing the lawn, because it's ironic. Was she listening to the show? Did she get this idea listening to you yesterday talking about how it was your solace and your getaway and think, I need a getaway? Is that what prompted
this?
She could have been. Because we're going to have to tell her to stop listening to the show. Lord knows what next she'll want to do.
She could. She could be. Well, I know she was listening yesterday, so she may have got a bit of a sneak peek on how I'm thinking, but I think it's the way I am when I'm done mowing the lawn. I'm very relaxed, feel good about what I accomplished. Chances are she was probably dealing with our kids being a pain in the butt, so that probably gets her a little angry, which I understand. I get it. But, it's I'll share the duties. I'm more than happy. I got plenty of work I can do over – at the other house. I got plenty of stuff I can keep myself busy with. I can tinker with a lot of things and keep myself occupied. The kids are going back to school soon. So school's about to be firing up here in a couple weeks. So, you know, once the kids are back at school and she wants to come mow out here, I'll figure something. You know, I'll do something. I'll figure it out.
So to this point, has she handled most of the activities this summer? Because like today, Paula was taking the girls to their horseback riding this morning. Then Maddie's got a dance camp that she's in. Sydney's got a basketball camp. I'm here because of training camp. So I'm wondering if is she been handling pretty much all of the duties, and is she now saying, okay, it's been a long summer, old B, it's time for you to maybe handle a little bit of this madness that I've been dealing with?
You know, I think throughout the summer, her and I have split the duties of pickup and drop off of camps pretty equally. Whether I'll take him in the morning or take her somewhere in the morning, you know, either, or I think, and then someone else picks him up or something like that. I think we've split that fairly evenly, but you know, to her credit, she normally ends up taking most of the duties when needed. You know, she picks up a lot of the stuff that maybe I don't want to do. You know, maybe I don't want to, you know, go do this. Like Declan, you know, Declan does tutor, you know, every once a week just to keep up on his schoolwork. And she always goes to the library, does those types of things and all that. So she does, I mean, obviously way more than I do. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I'm never going to sit here and say that I do more because there's no way. But yeah, I think she just, you know, she wants a little bit of that, you know, 4-hour quiet time out here. And now, you know what? Be more than happy to oblige. I'm very,
what a husband.
I'm fair
what
with
an American
that.
Hero. All right.
Yeah. I'm very fair.
last thing on this, and we'll get to football. If she takes your lawn mowing solace moment of solitude and starts doing the lawn mowing, what's your backup plan? Like, is there something else you have that brings you the same, just it's a nice break? And again, I would like to point out, I love Abby. She's great. You're obviously fantastic. I don't understand this concept at all. Manual labor as a getaway makes zero sense to me. I hate mowing the lawn. I try to limit the number of times that I mow the lawn, and we don't even have that big of a lawn. So this idea that you two are, air quotes, fighting over who gets to do the lawn mowing to get away from the day-to-day craziness is blowing my mind. I just want to state that for the record. So what else? What else you got? You're thinking about maybe putting in a new patio or something? That'll be your way to get away from things?
No, you know, I'll probably, because there's a lot to do out here in general. So maybe, well, she's doing that, I'll still come out here and I'll tinker around. And then there's still plenty of stuff at the main house that I can do. Like, there's a lot I can do. There's a lot of yard work that can be done there. There's a lot of weed eating, cutting, touching up. I can do a lot. There's a lot that I can mess around with and occupy my time. I can always play golf. Hey, you're going to mow for 4 or 5 hours. That gives me perfect time to go play a round of golf. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's ideal for me. I can go spend 3 hours at the golf course and play. So if that's the trade-off, then I'm all good with the trade-off. Because like I said, school's starting here pretty soon.
What a great teammate you are. Gosh, she's so lucky. All right. So we will, if you have some suggestions, because I'm getting some pushback on texts from folks and from some social media stuff that there's other folks that love mowing the lawn and that she's stepping into your safety zone, your comfort zone. So again, I don't get it. But if you have other suggestions for Brian, we'll take those on the text line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll get to yesterday's waterlogged practice. And I want Brian to put on his translator hat because If you are currently playing on the football team, I don't foresee you saying, well, that was really stupid. I don't know why we didn't go into the Hudson Center. Somebody could have gotten hurt. I don't know what Matt was thinking out there. Unless you're Aaron Rodgers, who, if he was here, he might have said that publicly. But the bottom line is that guys that are currently playing are not going to say that. They just said they were surprised. I'll be curious to know what Brian would have been saying had he been out there yesterday in the monsoon. All I know is this. If people around the stadium area have Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, they wouldn't have had to worry about their windows leaking despite the heavy storms. And Tausch is going to tell you all about the great things about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And now is the time for a bad dad joke.
What did the window say when it was arrested? I was framed.
All right. Well, dad jokes aside, my mind is on windows because Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has a fantastic deal going on right now. Pay as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Pella completes the installation with no mess, no hassle, and no bad dad jokes, leaving nothing but perfect results behind. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on July 31st. Visit PellaWI.com today to get started.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
This ain't a good time, but when is it ever? I know the perfect time, and maybe that's never. So don't you dare leave me now, throw my heart on the ground. Cause tonight ain't the night for sorrow.
I know that this joke has been beaten down over the years, but every time I use the video I did of the montage of your introductions that someone put together, I just smile. Like, I understand it's, you know, hey, ha, 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 I've seen that now about a billion times. Good one. But it still brings a smile to my face. And what I really love are the different faces that come right before you. Like, there's a clean-shaven Josh Sitton. I mean, he looks like Babyface Tausch from the 2000 season. So it brings a smile to my face. Maybe that'll be my respite. You know, I'm not going to mow the damn lawn. I'm just going to watch videos of Brian Bulaga introducing himself when I'm looking for something to get my mind off all the craziness of my life. All right, Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. All right, Brian, I believe in playing the, as Mike McCarthy used to say to you, the high side of caution. Which, by the way, I got rave reviews on your McCarthy yesterday. Rave reviews. Oh, like, well, Wes Hockowitz does a pretty good McCarthy, but yours was spot on. It was really good. Do you do any other imitations, Frank Caliendo Bulaga?
No, not really. I mean, listen, I had 10 or 9 years of listening to Coach McCarthy, so I got it down pretty good. Who did a really good one was TJ. TJ was really good. You know, couple Irishmen, you know what I mean? They just So TJ's able to do it really, really well, way better than I could. So he's probably the inspiration, and in hearing him do it is where I picked it up, because he did it great. But no, you know, it's, I think imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Indeed.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that, at least that's what I think, but you know, I do my best.
Well, I'm not sure you think that when I do Brian Bulaga, Iowa, over and over again, but be that as it may, if Mike McCarthy would have been here yesterday, there is no way in God's green soaking wet earth you guys would have stayed outside. I'm sorry, there is no way. And I was talking with Tom Silverstein, who I think his first season on the beat was 1988 or 89, and Pete Doherty, whose first year was 1993. They are the two more tenured guys than me in terms of the beat writing group. And the three of us were like, this has never happened before. Like, I would have remembered being out there in anything even close to that because of the duration of how long they practiced. That practice was like an hour and 40 minutes, and a good solid hour of it was in the pouring rain. And when I talked to guys afterward, you know, Josh Myers and the quarterbacks, and I talked to Matt Orzech, the long snapper, about it. And all of them, the biggest air quotes criticism they would give was that they were surprised. That's the safe way to describe it, right, Brian? Like, even if they thought it was galactically stupid, it would be even more stupid for them to say how stupid it was on Matt LaFleur's part, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to come out and say this was, I don't understand what he was even thinking. Like, you kind of mentioned it before the break. The only person that would do that, that had the, we'll say the pull to do that, was Aaron Rodgers. We'll just put it that way. Like, Aaron, if that was going on, Aaron probably through the first 2 minutes of that rain would have looked at LaFleur and said, we're going in. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, what are we doing out here? And we would have gone inside. And that's how that story would have ended. But I don't think there's any guys. I mean, and Kenny's not going to do it. Jair's not going to do it. There's no guys that are going to go up to him and go, we need to go inside. This is crazy. I mean, they're going to stay out there. Listen, it's a young team. There's not many guys that have that like I said, that pull to be able to go up to the head coach and just say, all right, I think we've had enough of this. Let's go inside and let's get the work done that needs to be done inside, where we can actually complete a ball, or we can snap, you know, quarterback center exchange isn't an issue. And these are all things that come up in a season. You can play in a torrential downpour. I mean, you can play in freezing cold. You can do all that, which, yes, you do need to prepare for that, but not day two of training camp. That's not really, you know, the time to do it. I mean, the biggest torrential downpour I ever played in was 2014 in the preseason in Tennessee. We went to the Titans, and it was an absolute monsoon for almost the entire game. I mean, it was an absolute downpour. I remember we went out there for the first series, and already my shoes were waterlogged. Like, it was bad. And the ones, you know, Aaron played that game, and we went out there, and it was, I think Aaron went for a series, and then the line went for two series. And I think we scored both drives. I mean, it was a really good start. And I remember getting to the sideline, and like, I'm like, these shoes are, I think I threw my shoes out after the game. They were a brand new pair of cleats. I'm like, I can't wear these again. These things are destroyed. They're going to smell terrible being packed in a bag and then put under a plane and flown to Green Bay. I'm like, they're done. So you throw those away. Your gloves are ruined. Everything, like, it's just, but that was in a game, right? And you have to deal with those things in a game. And no, we didn't prepare for a rain game throughout that week in Tennessee. Like, we weren't ready for it. But guess what? That's the condition. You go out there and play. There's really no excuse. But to have it in a training camp practice, especially training camp two, it's like if you were going into preseason one, right, and it was 100% chance that you were going to have rain, and, you know, say it's in Lambeau, and it's been raining all week in Green Bay, and that, say, the preseason game's on Thursday. I don't know when they are. And you have a Wednesday practice where it's raining. Yeah, you're going to go out there and practice in the rain because you need guys to get used to it. And, you know, that practice is maybe an hour, and you're not doing anything crazy, but it's mostly the ball handling, right? Like, the quarterbacks and the receivers and things of that are getting, you know, that part dialed in, and the running backs. But not training camp two when you're not really preparing for anything, right? You're just trying to get guys ready to put pads on. And you were explaining it to me, you know, when you were on the field yesterday, passes being underthrown, interceptions. I mean, how many drops and interception ended up happening yesterday because of the rain? You know what I mean? Or just bad plays in general, which drive offensive coordinators and head coaches crazy, because, like, when training camp plays go bad because of like weather, it drives them absolutely up the wall. Like they want to start seeing execution right away, and not like perfect, like week six execution, but just basic things. And when you can't do that, it drives them absolutely crazy. So there's a chance they were watching that film afterwards and Stenovich and LaFleur were just pissed. Like they were probably going like, what was that? Why did we do that? Like, we didn't get anything accomplished. And now, yeah, they will say they got something accomplished, but when there's that many interceptions, you said there were two already when we were just talking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't even run the offense properly, and that drives head coaches, that's an offensive coach, and Steno, who's the OC, just up the wall.
Yeah, I do wonder, and again, I'm sure Matt will be asked this while we're on the air here, that, you know, did he get good work? I also, look, if they have a game like this during the regular season, I'm sorry, I don't believe that what they experienced on July 24th will have been, or 23rd, will have been all that helpful to them. I just, if they're in, you know, if they're in Jacksonville on October 27th and it's pouring down rain in Jacksonville, I doubt they'll all go back to that practice and think, oh, well, we got this, it'll be fine. Because if they go back to that practice in their brain, it's going to be, well, Jordan didn't practice and we looked like trash offensively. The defense just ran us out of the field. So
exactly.
I'm not sure what they accomplished.
Was there a game last year that they struggled in the rain that would have prompted LaFleur to be like, we should do this? I can't think of one.
I don't. So here's my working theory on this. And again, I don't want to miss our time together to go down and ask LaFleur this, and hopefully Domofsky and those guys will ask. But in talking with some of the players, they were saying that they get like the forecast before practice. So they have a pretty good idea of what the conditions will be at practice. They did not forecast for an hour long monsoon. What they had been given from whoever handles that inside 1265 did not indicate that practice was going to look like that. So Brian, you mentioned it yesterday. If you do move inside, then you got to change shoes and you miss some time there. But again, to your point, I just don't feel like yesterday the work would have been that high of quality. So, you know, it's a catch 22. Do we waste 10 minutes with all the guys changing shoes so we can get some quality work done in the Hudson Center? Again, I don't know. We'll see what Matt LaFleur says here in about 18 minutes. But the bottom line is,
and I'll say this, it'd be more than 10 minutes. Because, like, guys spat their shoes, right? Like, they do the tape on the outside of the shoe. So then guys have to cut that off, get retaped by Flea and those guys. The trainers are scrambling. Like, it's a 20-minute ordeal. Like, because then guys aren't going to go into the Hudson Center not taped up to practice. So, like, it's more than 10 minutes. It ends up kind of ruining the entire flow of practice, so to speak, if that makes sense. Like it completely, then guys get cold. They sometimes would have, like when we would go back inside, if it was a long break, Lavat would warm us back up for like 5 minutes and then you would start. So it's like a 25 minute break. So I mean, I understand him not doing it because of that, but at the same time, I don't know about you, but I saw that sky that you were taking photos of. That didn't look good. That just didn't pop up out of nowhere, right? Like, that just didn't come out of the blue in the 5 minutes you were out there and start just dumping rain. I mean, that was showing signs that was going to be the case. But, you know, I'm sure LaFleur will say this was good work for – and that's all fine, but you're right. If they play somewhere during the season, they're not looking back on the 23rd and thinking – we got her working. We're used to this now. So
that would have thrown off the balance of practice, but something else on the defensive side of the ball threw off the balance of practice when the rain finally did stop. I'll tell you what that was coming up next. Want to remind you, though, that if you haven't made the switch to Associated Bank, maybe Jordan Love's going to make the switch. He's going to be getting that giant Publishers Clearinghouse check from the Packers sooner or later on his new contract. And if he's smart, he'll use the official bank of the Packers, because not only would he get Packers checking, they could probably put his picture on his checks. They can also, they will also give him early pay, so he'll get access to that paycheck a couple of days early if he's getting direct deposit from the league, and he gets the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it. So go to associatedbank.com to find out more. All right. What else disrupted practice besides the storm yesterday? I'll tell you what it was next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Red Sox.
Gone. The other way, Rafael Devers.
Yankees.
Gone. A line drive homer, Aaron Judge.
Coverage begins Saturday at 6:30 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Cousin subs, we believe in better. Brian, I've mentioned this to you before. I have a love-hate relationship with social media. I understand that we need it to share links so you can watch the show on YouTube or read a story that I've written or whatever else. At the same time, I don't need people, random people, telling me how much I suck. I know you've experienced that. especially about some of the word choices or word pronunciations you make. But so yesterday, after we got done, they had a team period, 11 on 11. And to the degree that Jana in Pittsburgh, we interrupt this story to read Jana's text. Tausch isn't here today, so we don't have to spend a segment on the fact that the weather forecaster didn't know what the weather was actually going to be. Yeah, Tausch holds them to a high standard. She's right about that.
Yeah.
But hey.
He's allowed to. Listen, it is the only profession that you can be right 30% of the time and be hailed as the best meteorologist in the country. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, like,
baseball players, hey. They're only getting things right 30% of the time.
Yeah, but that's hitting a 100-mile-an-hour ball coming at you. I mean, that's kind of hard. I mean, you know, all the technology, you know, the radars, the Doppler. Like, I mean, every news station down here in Florida says that they got the best technology, the storm. Like, I mean, you would think that they, you know, it's unbelievable. And then every day, 50% chance of rain. So they just hedge their bets. It's going to rain or it's not. And then if it rains, they go, see, we told you. I mean, you're in Florida in the summer. We told you it can rain. And then if it doesn't, well, we told you it couldn't. I mean, it's unbelievable. You can't plan for anything in Florida in the summer because no matter what day you look, 50% chance of rain. 50%.
I thought Tausch was off today.
This is all Jana's fault.
I'm just
I blame
saying.
Jana. Yeah, I blame Jim, not Brian.
I'm just saying.
back to something other than the weather yesterday. So they did an 11-on-11 period, and Rashawn Gary was unblockable. He had three sacks in a four-play span. I think two were against Andre Dillard. One was against Rashid Walker. But, of course, I decided, you know what, I'm going to be a little tongue-in-cheek about this. And I tweeted – and again, I'm not saying that this was the funniest tweet I've ever had, but if Packers defensive end Rashawn Gary plays this season like he has in this practice, he will break the NFL's single-season sack record.
What's so now, wrong with that? What's
So then what did I get? I got, will he be going against Andre Dillard every game? He disappears in most games. He's Lucas Van Ness is going to be better than him. Look, I didn't ask for your opinion on Rashawn Gary, but since people wanted to give their opinions on Rashawn Gary, let's give them ours. Okay. I'm not saying that I'm giving him the pass that meteorologists get, but he came back from an ACL last year. He was practicing 7.5 months after tearing it, and it looked to me like he was able to be effective in bursts, but that old saying about you're not really back to yourself after an ACL until the following year that you're back, as opposed to that first year you're back, you tore two of them. Tausch tore two of them. Is that true? Because I'm giving him a little bit of a pass last year. He was not an elite level pass rusher, but I still think that is within him. And for the record, I understand this was a non-padded day two practice, and it doesn't mean jack that he was dominating in a four-play span yesterday. It just doesn't. They're not in pads. If he starts doing this in one-on-ones and during 11-on-11 when they put the pads on, I think Saturday, then we got a story there, and we're going to talk more about how good he looks. But I just thought it was – I don't know. It doesn't happen very often where a guy – dominates in a four-play window to the degree he did in any sort of practice, and it was a good sign. And that's all it is, Brian, is that, hey, maybe he's going to get to be the guy that everyone was expecting him to be, which he wasn't last season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, coming back from an ACL is tricky. Not every one of them is the same. Not every guy recovers the same and is himself in the same amount of time. Like, perfect example, when I tore my left one in 2013, mm-hmm. and I came back, I didn't feel like myself till after that bye week when we lost to the Saints in New Orleans. I was playing through it. Obviously, I tore the MCL on that same knee week one against Seattle, so that didn't really help my cause throughout the first part of the season till we got to the bye week. Cause I was battling that, and just overall trying to, get my equilibrium and trust in everything with the knee and everything back in order. And then that happens and it throws things off. But it wasn't until really after that, bye week where I actually had time to let the MCL recover, let everything kind of take a little bit of a break. And then I came back after that bye week and I felt like a new guy. And I felt like I was playing at such a high level. Then fast forward to 2017, I tore that ACL, I think like week 7 or 8 against Detroit at home. And then I was practicing probably week 2 or 3 into training camp. And then, I didn't really feel good. It didn't feel great, but I knew compared to the other one, it felt better. So I went out and played and obviously that was the my first game back after that ACL tear was against Khalil Mack, who had been sitting out all training camp, then goes to the Bears. I think I gave up a sack to him. He felt super strong. I didn't feel super strong at all. I felt actually very, uncomfortable, which, not to the point like I'm uncomfortable going against Khalil Mack, because I've gone against Khalil Mack, probably 6-7 times up to that point by the time he became a Bear. But I get through that season. I didn't really feel great the whole season. And then that was in 2018. And then LaFleur gets there in 2019. And I felt fantastic, and I felt like that rehab on my right knee went way cleaner than the left one, but it took me longer to feel like myself from the right one than the left one. So like no two surgeries, no two recoveries are the same. We'll just put it that way. And I think it's very positive that he's showing his burst, his power, even if it is without pads on. I get it. Mm-hmm. Things change when you put pads on and all that. But to me, it's a very positive sign that he's showing that this thing is feeling good. And it may be a guy that it takes him longer than a year to be back to normal, which is totally fine. That's not a big deal. That's what happens when you have these major surgeries. But I expect him to play better this year for sure. And I don't know if people saying he disappears in big games, like I think that's a little over the top. And obviously last year he didn't play up to his standard. He was coming back from a major injury. I think we see a different guy this year than what we saw last year. He's obviously going to be way more confident on that knee, way more confident pushing off of it, bursting, cutting, and everything. So to me, I think it's a fantastic sign. And actually, it has me worried a little bit more about Andre Dillard, to be honest with you, if I'm being totally frank.
Yeah.
It has me a little nervous about that. So, which you and I have talked about this, and I've talked about it with Homer as well. There's a reason why he's bounced around, right? Like there's a reason why he's bounced around, and he was a first round pick and has been to multiple places. So I'm hoping that that was just a bad day from him. And he kind of, that was a little bit of a training camp wake up call for him that, this isn't, you know, you got to improve. You got to get better. And I'm hoping for both sides, this is going to turn into a positive.
One other thing about Rashawn Gary that I want to ask you as a pass blocker. And for the record, you're right about maybe not being fair to say that he disappeared in big games. But he had three sack games last year against New Orleans and against the Lions on Thanksgiving. Okay. Going back to the place where he tore his ACL for the first time, he gets three sacks against the Lions. The problem is he finished with 9 sacks on the year. So in the other 15 games, he had a total of 3 sacks and he went without a sack in the final 5 regular season games. And so I understand that it's not that I don't understand the criticism, but to your point, what I am looking for right now is what's different. What is obvious to even my semi-trained eye as opposed to your well-trained eye. And that was different. And we all saw it. I mean, Domofsky wrote about it, like a bunch of us, it was jarring to see him have that kind of explosiveness. And when we talked to him afterward, he talked about how much more comfortable he is with his hand in the dirt. And I'm curious, okay, you know, we've talked a lot about this shift to the 4-3 and how it's not really a 4-3. And of course, last year there was Matt LaFleur deflecting and explaining to me that those guys are really defensive ends when they're in the sub package. I understand, but they don't have their hand on the ground. And that is a big difference this time around. And so I am curious for you as a pass protector, is a guy who's got his hand on the ground and is exploding off the line of scrimmage, as opposed to a 2-point like track runner stance, is that different? And is that more challenging or just a different challenge?
You know, I think it's a different challenge. I think, especially guys that, I mean, I'm pretty sure when Rashawn was at Michigan, he played with his hand in the ground. I think that's the way Michigan was playing defense at that with Harbaugh at that time. And if that's what you're comfortable doing, right? Clay was a stand-up guy at USC. He always had his hand up. Sometimes he'd put his hand in the ground, but Clay was a stand-up guy. So he was very comfortable being that outside linebacker in a 3-4 and standing up and rushing the passer. He's very comfortable with it. Making that switch, it takes guys time. And I'm not saying Rashawn, I'm not giving Rashawn Gary a pass or anything like that, but some guys are comfortable doing things and some aren't. And to get him back in a scheme or a starting point, so to speak, that he's comfortable doing, what it does to offensive tackles, when guys stand up and they're stand-up rushers, they naturally play higher, right? Like, because they're already starting up. And you can get good tells off guys when they're in a stand-up position. They expose more of their chest. If they're going to do a spin move or things like that, they're already higher. You can get a gauge on their pads. And it's harder for guys that are already standing up to get lower in bull rush as it is. That means they really got to drop down, sink their hips, and try to get leverage again. Where guys that are in the 3-point stance, they can get into that bull rush really quick, which is Rashawn Gary's game. Rashawn Gary is a power rusher. that has developed speed rush moves, which has been great to see. But he's an explosive guy that uses power and works off of that. So for him to be able to have his hand in the ground and his pad level is low for the first three steps out of his stance is great for him, because he's not showing offensive tackles. Is he going power? Is he going speed? Is he, you know, it's harder to get a read off of it. And to me, it fits his game better. I really think so, because I remember him when he was a rookie. I thought, man, is this dude twitchy? Is he powerful? If he develops moves, he's going to be really, really good. And obviously, he's turned out to be really, really good. But I think him going back to putting his hand in the ground and what he's comfortable doing, I think we're going to see a different guy along with the recovery of his knee as well. He'll never say – I mean, I don't think he's a guy that will blame some poor performances or not as much production, so to speak, on a knee, especially if he's out there playing. If you're out there playing, I'm sorry, you're, and that's the expectation for NFL players. If you're out there playing, you think you're healthy enough to play, so you're doing it, right? Like, there's really not excuses of if you're out there and maybe you're injured, but you're just giving it one for the old, you know, giving it the old college try. It is what it is. No, if you're out there, you're expected to produce. So, like, I'm not giving him a pass, and he'll never, I don't think he'll ever blame his knee for that, but now we get to see him this year fully recovered, fully confident in that knee, and also being asked to do something completely different within this defense. And I'm not saying that, you know, Joe Barry's scheme, there was a lot of thinking. I mean, I know the way the scheme was, and there is a lot of thinking that happens in that defense. Droppers, zone fire blitzes, there's a lot of things going on. This scheme that he's now being asked to do is – get upfield, go get the quarterback, play aggressive, fire off the football, be your best self. And that's what we're going to see from him. I mean, I'm not saying the responsibilities are less than what he had in the last defense, but just the way this defense plays, the edge rushers are there to set edges. That's what they do. They set really hard edges. They don't allow the ball running in the run game to get outside of them. And they do that by getting upfield to force everything back inside. And in passing situations, they're flying upfield. They're getting after the passer. Like, they're not thinking about anything else besides flying up the field and trying to get sacks and pressure. So, for me, this scheme fits him really well. And I think that's why we're going to see some really good things out of him early in training camp, because what he's being asked to do suits him as a player 100%.
Matt LaFleur is at the podium, and he has addressed yesterday's decision to continue practicing in a hurricane. We will tell you what he had to say after Tausch tells us about one of his favorite things in the world, Coors Light. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day, in for Tausch. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're on vacation, relaxing in the summer heat, or just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories. Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I said go, baby, go, go, go!
Matt LaFleur is done at the podium inside the Lambeau Field Media Auditorium. He does not regret staying out there for practice yesterday in the monsoon. Per our friend Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com, I did not expect that, but I do think that it was good for us to go out there in the elements. He also added that the rainy conditions in the playoff loss to the 49ers last year were not the reason why they stayed outside yesterday. So kind of what Brian predicted in terms of his answers. But an important piece of news before we get to the 10 o'clock hour, and that is that Jaden Reed will be activated off the non-football injury list this morning, and he will take part on a limited basis in practice. And obviously, Brian, He's an important part of what they do offensively, so that is good news. We were told it wasn't anything major, and clearly it is not anything major because he'll be out there today.
Good. That's good. I'm glad. I mean, you never know what, when they say toe, is it plantar fasc? Is it, you know, you just never, you never know what it is. So I'm glad it's not serious because, like you said, he is a huge piece to this offense. I think he's a key piece. So I'm glad he's okay. Like, and obviously, as I've said yesterday with the Zach Tom situation, Flea and Nate and Doc McKenzie, these guys are going to make sure that he's not doing anything to jeopardize week one. So I know for a fact that he'll be monitored and he'll be slowly worked back in as long as the toe or whatever injury it was continues to progress in the right way.
Matt LaFleur also saying that Brian's favorite player, Zach Tom, there is no timeline for him to start doing 11 on 11. I will say he said to me earlier in the week that it'll probably be a couple of weeks before they start putting him out there. All right, that's it for the 9 o'clock hour. Brian Bulaga sticks around for two more hours of being the cousin sub of the day, live from the family farm couch. We will be joined by his sidekick, Homer, during the 10 o'clock hour. Plus, we want to get to a few other things from yesterday's practice heading into today's practice. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.